Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Happy to be with you this weekend here on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. As we get ready to wrap up the year, as we get very close to the Christmas holiday, a very special show for you today. Just a few moments away, Patrick Myers, the Marketing Insider, and talking about how to catapult your brand. A little bit later on, Gene Bliss, the customer experience, and what CEOs should know about their customers. Also have a very special guest out of Los Angeles. His name is Mike Saxon, the managing director of China Business Partners, a venture capitalist, founder and partner of more than a score of businesses, and author of An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. So we'll talk to Mike here for a few segments here on The Advertising Show. Definitely a few reasons, worthwhile reasons, to stick around there. So how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing just wonderful, and I'm assuming you've got all your shopping done for the holidays.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
That's right.
Yeah.
Actually, I do.
Well, I was a little early this year, no reason other than just kind of fell into place. And
yeah, that's great.
You know, speaking of the holidays, Ray, ZS Publishing's new bi-monthly magazine looks a lot like most other lifestyle titles. On the cover, you see a pretty woman, as you can see here, preparing a holiday meal.
Mm-hmm.
Inside pages are filled with recipes and gift-giving suggestions. But Jewish Living, the newly launched magazine from former Foot Cold and Belding executive Dan Zimmerman, may be the only magazine that promises to teach readers to spin their dreidel a new way.
And how would that be?
Well, the publication launched recently with a base rate of 100,000, including subscriptions sold to the Jewish Federations in North America. Advertising in the first issue targets upscale women, including several Jewish-focused businesses like JDate, which is a Jewish dating service.
Okay.
Features also include Jewish authors from facing off over whether to buy into Christmas, a guide on how not to coddle your kids, and why tattooing is a hot issue in the Jewish community. I'm just giving some fair and balanced time to our friends in the Jewish community, and here's a publication that is dedicated to Jewish Living. It'll be interesting with the magazine industry, what it is, to see if this kind of niche publishing effort can actually carve out a market.
Yeah, it sounds like it has an opportunity.
I think so.
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl coming up here. Not that I'm a big fan of the Super Bowl. Not many people are. They're usually fans of the commercials in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Diamond Emerald Nuts will not be back for the Super Bowl this year.
Oh.
The company.
I'm not watching.
The company had advertised in the last three bowls. They will instead do events around the game. The source said that adding the, Robert Goulet, who was the pitch man,
the late,
died.
Yeah.
So that's gone.
Hmm.
So basically, don't look for Emerald Nuts to be in the Super Bowl.
I'm wondering if the passing of Goulet had anything to do with that.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, you do have to find a new spokesperson, get a little mileage under you. Well, on the other hand, that would have been a great place to launch a new campaign, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy's had a trouble with the launching a new campaign after the death of Dave, though. That was kind of weird.
And, you know, it's interesting because if there was ever a mass appeal product that actually fits into the Super Bowl for a change.
Nuts.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, right?
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. So go get your nuts someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the Super Bowl.
Right.
There you go. What do you have there?
Well, you know, I'm really looking forward, by the way, to today's guest, Mike Saxon. If you're interested in knowing how to do business in China, and frankly, with what's going on, who's not? But we're going to, this is a great book, An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. Today's author, Mike Saxon, out of, where is it, San Francisco?
It's California. I didn't get, but we'll find out from Mike.
But I think what's interesting, and we're going to have some questions both related to the book as well as unrelated to the book, but related to doing business in China. But my goodness, China's been in the news lately. And with the
exactly.
The upcoming Olympics, and with now being the time when everybody buys toys for their children. What do they do? Probably 30-40% of their entire business during the months of December
exactly,
and November. So,
exactly.
Got some questions for Mike coming up next segment. Should be an interesting interview, Ray.
Let's take a break here. A good opportunity to take a break. Patrick Meyer has been with us for quite a long time, the marketing insider here on the Advertising Show. This one is called Catapult. Let's listen.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Ever see the trilogy, Lord of the Rings, where there are giant catapults throwing humongous boulders at castles and at one another? Well, that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Marketing catapults, giant ideas. Many times you hear agencies being called in to deliver the big idea. In my experience as a client and as a marketer, rarely does the agency deliver big marketing ideas. So what you really need are big marketing ideas that can aggressively drive your business forward. My experience is you need a team of people that are thinking about how to drive the business forward. What are the core drivers of the business? Those couple things that can really cause the consumer to say, wow, I need to buy that brand now. That could be product news. That could be a challenger marketing platform. It could be new packaging. It might be a totally new experience. The key here is you need to start with what drives the business going forward. One great example is Wii and Nintendo. Can you imagine the group that was working on that brought that into their management? That was bold thinking. Another great example might be Starbucks and either bringing music in or their linkage with T-Mobile to bring Wi-Fi into every Starbucks. Seems pretty obvious now, but at the time, it was a catapult. One of the things that we do with our clients when we do catapults is to take every aspect of the business, the big drivers, and every one of the marketing components, and to systematically try to catapult them. Not all work, but where you get to is a whole different place, and you rethink the traditional, and you push out and find new ways to drive the business.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Be a good time to do that right now here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Tag Heuer, which is a fine brand of watches, mm-hmm. Did the first digital campaign, an online campaign that is, going digital, not with just his watches. The nearly 150-year-old luxury sports watch manufacturer is introducing its first comprehensive online campaign. Hmm. You may have seen it. The program, initially investing $1 million, makes its parent company, Louis Vuitton, the greatest single brand online presence to date. That's a lot of bucks. Do you have a Tag Heuer?
No, but it's interesting. We just heard about one of the major telephone carriers doing away with their payphones across America, and they say that watches are becoming less in demand with consumers because of cell phones. People carry cell phones.
No, it's interesting you say that, because that's the same thing. Bruce, our executive producer, mm-hmm. does not wear a watch anymore.
Right.
And why bother?
I don't have one on today. I sometimes do, sometimes do not, but especially among young adults, they've kind of grown up with the cell phone and PDA, and they do not use the watch as much as we of a different generation. Hmm. So the payphone and the watch may both go the same direction here soon as a result of the cell phone or mobile devices.
They still want that. A lot for their watches, though.
Yes, and those are nice watches. I'm very familiar with
them. Bell & Ross. I was looking at Bell & Ross watches.
Mm-hmm.
$6,000.
Right.
It's like, oh, sure, give me two.
It's interesting because watch fashion has become, I mean, it's a very pricey thing. I saw somebody in a meeting today with a beautiful watch on. But as I hear about these trends, it's like, I don't know, this would be a good time to be in the watch business.
Okay. Make note to self, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Share what you've got there.
Well, you know, you love dogs. We love dogs. And our dogs demand what? Fresh water, meals twice a day, a walk.
Love, yeah.
A walk. Yeah, but online shopping site Gothic.com, GothicDog.com, wants to make sure that your dog gets diamonds.
Oh, of course.
And I'm serious about this. Their release explains it all. It says, the animal lovers compelled to adorn their pets with high-end diamond-encrusted jewelry on discerning pets. As their founder describes them, Gothic Dog announces the introduction of a new line of luxury dog jewelry. So So if you have too much money on your hands, log on to gothicdog.com.
Gothicdog.com for sure.
Yeah.
Just in time.
And you need just a few days left before Christmas. Your dog won't know any different if you just...
The dog doesn't know it's Christmas.
I don't know about shipping at this point.
Or maybe he does. I don't know. There you go. Dogs know a lot. Mike Saxon joins us here in just a moment on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Stay with us.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
What's up? Dino's stolen the different vitamins we need to make Flintstones.
Yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo. Flintstone vitamins are good to chew with vitamin.
Out of California this weekend here, it's a special guest, Mike Saxon. In addition to being the author of his book on China, Mike is president of China Business Partners, which has offices in Fullerton, California, and in China. They consult American firms doing business with China, have been in business for more than 10 years. Much of what Mike writes about in the book comes from his personal experiences, so he has more than just academic knowledge. He is, basically has a, you know, total contact with the opportunity there. And the book is called An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. It's a good-looking book. It ought to jump off the shelves there. Mike, it's good to have you here on The Advertising Show. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and let's jump right into it. Something I mentioned last segment. I think most of people listening today are very aware of that fact that China has had a tremendous amount of issues around safety concerns and toys this year. What do you think, Mike, will be the fallout of this year's negative publicity surrounding toy manufacturers in China?
Well, I guess it started with the Fisher-Price incident and then grew. The question is, like, how did it come about and who caused it? Basically, the problem is that, first of all, China has an issue with cutting corners. And they cut some corners, and it's up to the Americans who ordered it, Fisher-Price in this case, to monitor that. And I guess it fell down at the first stage where the raw materials came in with lead in the paint, and they didn't catch that. And it's a monitoring issue.
Yeah, and you know, Fisher-Price, as you noted, was the first to come out. They've had a few issues since then, but Ray and I talked about this on the show when it first broke several months ago, and the question that I'm really asking, and I'm asking you to do a little projecting here, we're right in the middle of the holiday season, and certainly we all know that toy manufacturers do the majority of their business during the last few months of the year. We challenged whether consumers would actively seek out whether toys were manufactured in China originally, if they're able to even determine that from looking at the toy or the box, and whether consumers would be that discriminating this year, albeit they have very good reason to be. But, you know, when it comes to consumers and purchases, and in this particular case, issues around safety and being able to determine whether a product was actually originally manufactured in China, it might be a bit of a challenge. What are your thoughts? Do you think this year we'll have a reflection of consumers being more discriminatory in their purchases and actually avoiding purchasing products originating out of China as it relates to toys?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. First of all, I don't think there'll be a big problem in today's holiday season. Everybody is well aware of the quality problem, and they're doing extra duty to make sure that it doesn't exacerbate.
Yeah, and I guess one of the government officials of China was interviewed recently. I recall hearing on the news, and Ray and I were talking about this before today's show, and he came out and said, look, you people over in America have had your issues, and everyone's been able to overcome those. And, and he really threw it back at us and said, you know, so we've had one or two issues here. Let's not paint the entire Chinese manufacturing quality control issues on a few examples there. Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
Who was that in particular? Do you recall who was
Sorry, I don't recall his name.
Yeah,
but he was in charge of quality.
Yeah.
For China, and I guess I take issue with the statement, of course.
Right.
I think it's endemic. It's a cultural issue. It's not just a happenstance. The culture in China is very different than ours. For one thing, they believe that the ends justify the means.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that, then cutting corners is perfectly okay if you can get away with it.
Yeah, and I think some of the issues around pollution and environmental issues, a lot of us here in North America and American consumers are well aware of some of the shortcuts that are going on in that regard that are having a worldwide impact. You know, we're going to talk a little bit, Mike, about some of the misconceptions today about doing business in China. But first, you've been doing business in China for over 20 years, which puts you way ahead of the curve as far as others that are now interested in, only recently become interested in China. What first got you interested in the Chinese marketplace, Mike?
Married a Chinese woman.
Well, that's a real good reason. It's a good
reason. That works.
So that that happened some 20 years ago. I assume you ran into her in China, or was that?
No, it was in the United States. But
yeah.
We made many, many trips back and forth, and I started to get involved in things, and it evolved from there.
And you call her your wife, but she calls you, she says that she's your interpreter.
That's right.
So I assume you were able to use that relationship as a real means of not only truthfully using her as a cultural interpreter, I guess, also.
Yes, it was very helpful.
Yeah. How has business changed from 20 years ago to today from a marketing perspective of doing business in China?
Well, 20 years ago is when this whole thing started, and that's pretty hard to remember that they've only had a relatively free economy for 20 years. And even that wasn't free 20 years ago. It evolved. It started in the coastal cities, in a couple of coastal cities, and they did well. And it started to spread and people wanted, in the cities, to join the prosperity. So they started to open up their markets as well.
And so today, better opportunities with regard to media selections and being able to market to the Chinese?
Oh, there's a world of difference. I mean, everything. For one thing, they now have an infrastructure for manufacturing. They didn't then.
Mm-hmm.
Only the coastal cities could participate because that's the only way you get a freight out. And, of course, now they've got highways and the rail and they have modern transportation. Many people go there and they're amazed. They're expecting to see China with the rickshaw and the Confucianism and whatever, and it's not. It's a modern, their cities are modern.
Things are a little bit different than we perceive over here. Absolutely.
It is.
Just a little bit. Mike Saxon, our special guest here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The book is called An American's Guide to Doing Business in China, and it's out now, and it's probably a good thing to pick up as well if you are interested in that or have been exposed to that type of culture. Definitely different. We've got a couple more segments to spend with Mike, and we look forward to that here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. And it's being powered by Shipple.com. Shipple has a marketing company, a web marketing company, and it has a great platform called Tendency, which is dramatically powerful when it comes to marketing. So check it out. Ed and his gang do a great job, and thanks for their support throughout the years here. Shipple.com is the place, and this is the Advertising Show, and we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Oh, it was really funny tonight, wasn't it? Coffee?
That's another funny joke.
Oh, Mrs. Olson, I just can't make good coffee.
Speaking of somebody else whose brand lives on, in spite of the fact that we doubt that Miss Olson is still around, right? Mm-hmm. Folgers, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show out of Los Angeles. It is Mike Saxon, author of the book American's Guide to Doing Business in China. Mike, it is good to have you here on the show. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and a worldwide audience, audience out of both certainly North America, the predominant share of our market, but we also reach listeners in Asia as well as Europe, and like to welcome all of those listeners around the world. And unless you are living in a cave, which I guess we'd need to welcome all of our listeners from Afghanistan at this point, but unless you're living in a cave, you know that China's been going through an economic boom. China ran a $100 billion trade surplus in 2005, and that was triple the 2004 surplus. For a perspective of statistics, if you would, Mike, can you give us some sense of the size and scope of the marketplace in China?
Well, it's growing. Are you talking about marketing to them?
Yeah, just no. In terms of the from an outsider looking in terms of the market potential there, and the and in terms of size and scope.
Well, many things are presenting a great opportunity for those who know China. It used to be that it was an axiom that China was a producing nation, not a consuming nation. But that changed. It's now fast becoming a consuming nation, and the government is encouraging that trend. They want to produce their own domestic market.
Any particular businesses, Mike, that and from a business category standpoint, that tend to do better in China than another?
Oh yeah, there's several areas and different things that you need to. Know. For one thing, as people become wealthier there, there's a growing middle class. It becomes very similar to our own, with the same kind of wants and needs. For one thing, leisure time is something that the middle class consumer is looking for, and there isn't very much there.
I wouldn't think.
No, there's lots of opportunities to market products and services in leisure time industries, sports, entertainment, that sort of thing. And there's many other opportunities. For one thing, the principles are that luxury goods and convenience products are something which China has never had. They were very utilitarian. If it works, don't fix it, don't improve it.
Right.
But now they're looking pretty much for the same things that the American consumer is. They want. They'll pay for convenience, and they'll pay for luxury and status.
Well, the U.S. doesn't have a lock on the luxury market, or certainly the leisure market as well. We've seen U.S. business interest in China grow over the past several years. What other countries, Mike, are making inroads into the China marketplace?
Well, the biggest investments are coming from China-based communities like Hong Kong, Singapore. But America is one of the largest investors, of course, in China. Other than America, the Japanese, of course, are ever-present. Germans, Swedes, the English, of course, they were involved in Hong Kong and widened their influence. So there are quite a few. And Chinese have very distinct opinions of doing business with different nations, and America is one of the more favorites.
Hmm. And hopefully that will maintain over the upcoming years. You touched on media earlier last segment. What traditional media outlets are best used when trying to reach the typical Chinese consumer today? Are we to assume that television, like here in the U.S. many years ago when our economic boom was just underway, is now favorable in reaching the Chinese consumer?
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Yes, television is a very popular medium, and it works. It's effective.
Is it to be compared with the days of when, like in the 50s and 60s, for our economic boom, where there was a limited number of TV networks out there and you could reach a majority of the marketplace when just through a few networks?
No, they've got quite a few now.
They
have very many Chinese stations. Mm-hmm. It's similar to here.
And what about radio and such?
Radio, too.
Yeah. And the internet, is it new media? Is it used as much?
Oh, absolutely, even more than here. They're internet oriented, which takes away from something like, say, a newspaper.
Right. And is that true both in the urban and the rural areas? I think most people, when they think in terms of the Chinese consumer, they are thinking in terms of the major coastal markets, as you described earlier. But yet, I understand there's also an effort underway to reach the rural consumer. And we're going to hold that question, Mike, for after the break.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest is Mike Saxon out of California, author of An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. Back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Cut. Reload. That's a complicated looking machine, isn't it? Funny thing is, a lot of people still think that taking
classic
home
Dick Van Dyke spot on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth out of California. It is Mike Saxon, author of An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. We are so happy to have you here, Mike. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, before the break, mentioned about consumers in China and reaching what most people, I think, typically think the Chinese consumer in major markets along the coastal area of China. But yet, I understand there's an attempt underway to reach more of the rural Chinese consumer. Is this true, Mike?
Yes, but like everybody else, I'm more oriented toward the urban.
Yeah.
That's where the money is. That's where the disposable income is. The countryside is still very poor. Their main source of income, where it used to be agricultural, of course, almost 100%, is now coming from the kids who are sending their parents home money. And that's their main source of income. So they don't have an awful lot of disposable income. And so efforts in that area are probably waiting for them to catch up.
Yeah, why do I sense that Green Acres, reruns of Green Acres, would go over well there?
Right.
Eddie Albert and Zsa Gabor, yeah. Let's touch on, I mentioned first segment, we were going to talk a little bit about misconceptions about doing business in China. I've compiled a list of 8 or 9 here. There may be others, but let me take you through what I think many people might think about China, and you dispel them or confirm them in terms of whether they might be true or not, Mike. China does little to protect intellectual property rights.
I agree.
That's true.
Yes.
I think that would surprise people. You would think in 2007 that they would have worked this out.
No, no. The point is that it's to their advantage. They're not motivated to do an awful lot because, well, two-thirds of the, let's take counterfeiting along the same lines. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of the counterfeits in the world are from China. So it's a multi-billion dollar industry there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say that they've been working hard, and they passed a number of laws which are fairly strict, but they don't enforce them. There's an incident that really raises people's eyebrows. The Olympic symbol, where remember the Beijing Games are next year, and the Olympic symbol becomes a very a money-making enterprise,
right.
And they different countries who had it are made an awful lot of money with it. Well, what happened was China has the Olympic symbol, and they didn't want to counterfeit it. So they passed some laws and then put teeth into it where they had teams of people to enforce it. And the law was very strict.
Huh.
It was 10 to 15 years in jail for counterfeiting the Olympic symbol. And guess what happened?
They didn't uphold it.
No, they upheld it great. They had a test case. They rounded up 100 people and gave them all sentences of 10 or 15 years.
Hmm.
And it just cleaned it up. You can't find an counterfeit Olympic symbol anywhere in China. So you wonder if they can do that,
yeah,
and protect the Olympic symbol. How come they can't protect intellectual property,
right,
or any other property?
And that's because it's to their benefit, not to when it comes to maybe doing business outside of China, but within their own country, they're a little more strict about it.
Yes, and yeah. And another thing is that they have, and most of Asia has the same psychology that intellectual property is the property of society, not an individual.
So is it true that the Chinese government is overstaffed, bureaucratic and inefficient? Would that be a fair characterization?
No, I don't agree with that.
No.
Most people say that.
Right.
But I've seen some pretty sharp people there. They are not lacking in intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sharp. And as a matter of fact, there's less paperwork and less bureaucracy because they've delegated responsibility at very low levels. I mean, low-level people can make high-level decisions. I don't know the wisdom of that, but that's the way it works.
You know, I think most people, when they think of the Chinese marketplace, they think that it's only for big business, and small to mid-sized U.S. companies don't really have the size or resources to effectively do business in China. Is this true?
Yeah, no. Well, that's why they need a company like China Business Partners.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You need feet on the ground.
Right.
Because if you don't have your own people or people working your behalf there, and then that's when the problems happen.
That was a very sly plug for you, wasn't it, that you just did there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, in all sincerity, if you're interested, please check out our author's book, An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. No website that we can mention for you, Mike?
Yes, ChinaBusinessPartners.com.
China Business Partners.
China, C-H-I-N-A.
Right.
Business.
Right.
Partners.
Right.
Plural.
Right.
.com.
Okay.
Yes.
And once again, the book is called An American's Guide to Doing Business in China. Seems interesting territory to venture into. And Mike, we wish you the best with your book and continued success with your business as well. It's been a blast having you here on the Advertising Show.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
You got it. We'll be back with more of the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth in just a minute. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Ella Fitzgerald,
she's attempting to shatter a glass with her amplified voice. She did it.
Our best to Mike Saxon, and thanks for being on the show today. An American's Guide to Doing Business in China is his book, and we hope you go check it out. We've got Alex Ben Block, by the way, coming up next week and the week after that for a look back at 2007 and a look ahead at 2008. What's going on in the entertainment industry? Alex has that for us, as he always does, which is good.
Yeah.
Rupert Murdoch says he intends to make access to the Wall Street Journal's website free. We're studying it. We expect to make it free instead of having 1 million subscribers, having at least 10 million to 15 million in every corner of the earth.
Yeah.
So save. How do they make money?
Advertising,
ads, obviously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said he believes that a free model with increased readership for the Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com, will attract a large numbers of big spending advertisers. Well, of course it will.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what a great idea.
And I'm one of the subscribers, so he's going to save me a few bucks every year.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea.
And so, and I've got to remember, as you read that, you remind me, because every year I'm on the automatic renewal
thing, yeah.
So I have to check my subscription to make sure that it doesn't auto-renew, especially if it's coming up anytime soon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you're going to save some money this year? What a good thing. This
next
coming
year.
Next year.
Yeah, next year.
That works.
Yeah.
Hey, let's before we get to what mm-hmm. you got right there,
yeah.
let's check in with Gene Bliss, our customer experience person, and what CEOs should know about their customers. What a concept, huh? Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Ask these 5 questions to establish a language inside your business for placing the customer front and center on your corporate agenda. First, what are your new customers, volume and value? Ask about the volume and value of your incoming customers as often as you ask about sales goals. What are your lost customers? Do customer math to reconcile customers in with customers out to know how well you are doing with managing customers as an asset of your company. Third, what customers renewed, at what rate, and why? Find out why customers are staying with you to ensure that you constantly manage and deliver value. Fourth, what's the revenue and profitability by customer group or segment? Understand the movement of customers from one profitability group to another so you can plan and prioritize annual investments and the focus of your resources. And finally, what's your referral rate by customer segment? Track the rate of referrals by customer group so you'll know the strength of your ongoing revenue stream before you spend another dollar on marketing. Companies completely focused on customer profitability learn and practice customer math to finally place an ROI on customers.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Back with the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate your input, and always happy to have you here at the Advertising Show, where next week Alex Ben Block joins us, as we said, for a wrap of 2007. It's been a pretty good year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Things are looking good, and things are looking even better for 08.
And by the way, if you have not heard Alex Ben Block, if you're a regular listener, you know about him and have heard him on the show because he's on about once a quarter.
Yeah,
but this
exactly.
this guy, as far as entertainment and television, and you want to know something about that particular topic, man, this guy's got it all. So as Ray said, a look back and a look ahead next week and the following week, first of the year. You know, Ray, some folks feel major guilt when they give to their into their cravings and eat whatever they want, of course.
Right.
But one UK company is counting on just that when they market their line of foods. The Filthy Food Company markets a decadent line of chocolates with names like Cheesy Chocolate Bites, Seductive Strawberry and Cream Bites, and your favorite, Kinky Cream Brulee Bites.
Kinky Cream.
And I guess they're suggesting more than just consuming these by their names. But anyway, Filthy Food Company, interesting concept. You know, those Brits, they're just now getting around to good food and decadent eating over there. We've been doing it for decades over here.
Kinky what?
Let's see here. Kinky cream brulee bites.
Or Kinky Friedman cream brulee bites.
Yes.
That's funny. Hope you enjoyed the interview today with our special guest, Mike Saxon out of California, author of An American's Guide to Doing Business in China, and hope you'll stay with us for next week's show with Alex Benblock, as we said here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Visit theadshow.com frequently. I should say theadvertisingshow.com frequently for lots of good stuff going on there. And in addition, you can pick up, well, just a ton of guests that we've had on over the years since 2001. Great place to spend some time and actually send your friends to spend some time as well there. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.